right, welcome to Chicago Jazz Revealed. I am Mike Jeffers, and this is another episode. This is featured on ChicagoJazz.com and, of course, presented by Chicago Jazz Magazine. Today, we are very honored to have legendary bassist here in Chicago, Frank Russell, stopping by. We're going to be talking about his performance coming up at the Promontory July 3rd, Monday night, the day before 4th of July, so put it on your calendar. And a myriad of other things we're going to discuss with Frank. Frank, thanks for stopping in.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
Absolutely. So why don't we just start off first? Let's get it right off on top, and then we're going to circle back and kind of get a feel for who you are and where you came from in the Chicago jazz scene. But why don't you just quickly tell us, and then we'll get deeper into it. You've got a performance coming up July 3rd at the Promontory here in Chicago. Tell us a little bit about what that is, because it sounds like a real special evening.
It is. It's kind of like a project that's over 40 years in the making for me, because I've been playing bass guitar since I was 14 years old. And I'm going to be doing a tribute to the bass players that influenced me, like Stanley Clark, Jaco Pastorius, Marcus Miller, and even Daryl Jones, a friend of mine from Chicago who works with the Rolling Stones and has worked with Miles Davis, Sting, and everybody. He's a big influence too, and he also says I influenced him. So it's going to be a pretty cool project, and I'm just excited to do it.
Okay, so that's going to be July 3rd at the Promontory, and that is at 5311 5311 South Lake Park Avenue West in Chicago. Of course, tickets are found at PromontoryChicago.com. Now, since you're going to be doing this tribute to bass players in Chicago, well, bass players that have influenced you, I guess why don't we start off with, you know, when you were first coming up, what were some of the influences that you had as far as getting you into bass playing?
Well, it's funny. My dad played upright bass in high school in Birmingham, Alabama, back in the 50s, I believe. And he always told me that he would, when he met my mother, he would play the bass against her belly when I was, I guess, in there. And it always teased him. I said, well, I wish you'd have put a stethoscope there. I probably would have been a doctor.
But yeah, right.
But I'm happy that that he played bass. And in high school, I started off playing drums and guitar. And at the age of 14, my girlfriend, who was a singer, they needed a bass player in their band. The bass player quit, and she asked me, could I play bass guitar? And I said, sure. Mm-hmm. It should be easy. It's two less strings. And that started me on my career. And her name was Charlotte Gibson, and she's an Emmy Award-winning writer on the soaps.
Oh, wow.
And so thanks, Charlotte.
So you started off playing upright in...
No, I didn't play upright. My dad did.
Oh, so you started playing electric.
I started playing electric. I got my dad's friend had a Fender Mustang. His name was Smitty, and I never thanked him. And he let me borrow it for like almost 2 years before he finally asked for it back. And then my dad got me my own bass. But yeah, I played electric bass all my life, and I never played much upright. I was playing with a friend of mine, Kent Anderson. He had his upright, and I could get around it, and I told him it's probably the 10th time I've ever had one in my hand.
Really?
But I like to be, instead of a jack of all trades, I like to be a master of one. So I stuck with the electric bass.
Well, that's what you love, right? That's
what I'm known for.
Yeah, and that's probably a smart move, because a lot of people try to do everything. That's like, you know, well, I don't even want to get into the drum thing, but right. I mean, I had to play timpani, marimba, vibes, drum set, and finally I got good at something when I decided I didn't want to do all that other
stuff. But it all informed your drumming.
Yep.
I always say that. I worked with Ladysmith Black Mambazo for a few years, and everything I learned growing up from playing drums and guitar to those South African rhythms, I always say it led me up to that point, and it all informs my playing. Like I still play like a guitarist sometimes when I solo.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, so let's just keep going here. So you're in high school, you're playing, now you're playing R&B stuff, right?
Yeah.
Is that kind of rock,
Earth,
R&B?
Wind & Fire was, I met Verdeen White, and I've actually got to play with a lot of the Earth, Wind & Fire musicians, from Rom Lee, their trumpet player, Freddie White, Maurice White's brother. I got to play with him for a whole summer when he got off the road with Earth, Wind & Fire. Larry Dunn, I met actually last year at the Sweetwater Gear Fest. Philip Bailey I met. It all goes back to Earth, Wind & Fire. Yeah. And I finally got to tell Freddie how much Burdeen influenced my playing. So it was a lot of, you know, I had to learn like 30 songs in a month.
To play with a band
with this band, yeah. So then I listened to Larry Graham, of course, and James Jamerson. I guess I always gravitated like against my mother's belly.
Mm-hmm. But it was always like, so when you were coming up in high school and stuff, that was like rock, it was R&B, it was
yeah,
that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I loved the Beatles. Yeah. The Beatles were the reason I really got a guitar in the first place. I saw them on Ed Sullivan. I'm sure I'm not the only one that said that.
Yeah. How old were you?
6 or 7.
Okay.
I've given my age, but
it's better than 20.
But yeah, I saw the Beatles, and I asked my dad to give me a guitar, and the Christmas he got me one, and that was the beginning of my music career, I believe. Although there is a picture of me at 3 years old with a little plastic guitar, but I was just holding it.
That could be a promo picture.
It is. It's on my first CD. It's in the inner sleeve. I got a football helmet on too. So.
Oh, there you go. There you go. All right. So let's jump ahead a little bit. How did you end up getting into jazz? Now you're known as you've got such a unique style of electric jazz bass playing.
Yeah.
How did you first start playing jazz?
In high school, I believe, or as soon as I got out, I got in a fusion band in Gary, Indiana, where I grew up, called Innovations. And this is a great guitar player, Larry Campbell, and Robert Gates, who actually plays with Henry Johnson for years, and I forget, Brandon Wells. Anyway, Larry was into Pat Metheny, Pat Martino, and artists like that. And we started playing all those tunes, Spiral Gyro, and from the fusion. And I always gravitated towards jazz because my dad, that's all he played. Growing up, Miles Davis, Coltrane. And it just kept on going from there. And I started playing with Henry Johnson, who I met in high school, the great guitarist, who plays with Ramsey Lewis. And
mm-hmm.
We toured all over the country. I did Henry's first album. So I just kind of gravitated towards jazz. And then eventually I played with Ken Chaney for 30 years.
Wow, Ken Chaney.
His death. Yeah, and I actually, as a memorial service, the family asked me to put the band together and the music together, and I got some of the greats from Chicago, and some of that's online. So if you want to look up on YouTube, Ken Chaney Memorial. So yeah, then I started playing with, I got to play with Ramsey Lewis through Henry Johnson, Peter Erskine through Henry Johnson, Alphonse Muzan through Henry Johnson. And Henry's got a lot to do with my career. He's the reason I actually started a band on my own, because he told me my nickname is Rocky.
Okay.
So he said, Rocky, you should start your own band, about 10 years ago. And he was like Hannibal Lecter, fly, fly, fly away, Clerties. And so it's been great ever since.
So he pushed you into that. Now, is he the person that got you going so that you put out recordings and things too?
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah, because I got a gig down at Pops for Champagne on Sheffield for a year every Thursday. And I got him and Greg Rockingham and two phenomenal musicians, Greg on drums. And people kept asking me if we had a CD. And I said, after the 20th person, we like, maybe you should do a CD. And I did, and I got Henry to play, Greg Rockingham, Ernie Adams, Ken Chaney, Ari Brown. I can't think who else, but it went off really well.
Yeah.
It's called Covering All Bases.
And of course, it's available at your website, which is?
FrankERussell.com.
FrankERussell.com.
The E is for Earl.
Aha. So FrankERussell.com.
Yeah.
All right, so as you're going through, I mean, who are some of your big influences as far as the electric jazz bass? Obviously, Jaco, I would imagine.
Jaco was big, but Stanley Clark was I got to tell him, I met him a couple of months ago at the Promontory. It's funny because I'm going to be playing there July 3rd.
Hint, hint.
And I met him, and I told him what he meant to me as a bass guitarist, and I actually got to play with him, you know, backstage.
Oh, just cool. Yeah,
up
yeah.
A couple of basses. And believe me, I was playing a lot of his stuff back, but then he went into Godspeed. And
I left it alone.
Now, he's one of those guys that can that's able to do both upright and electric.
Yeah,
right?
See, there's not a lot of those. John Patitucci, Lanny Plaxico, you can count them on one hand, well, maybe two hands, the guys that can really master both, to me. Brian Brownberg's another one. But sometimes I'm glad I just stuck with one because, you know, God only led a few people like that on this earth.
Yeah.
To be able to do both. They're like Prince. You can play all instruments, but these guys play both electric and upright. So
Is it a different mindset when you're playing electric to upright? I mean, you're obviously vertical to horizontal, but is there something else in there?
You know what? I listened to so much upright that we did a recording once with Henry Johnson, and Freddie Hubbard was on the recording. He did a couple of tunes, but he got the tracks after I did my part. And Henry said they got the tracks to New York. Freddie listened to it. He said, "Who's that on upright?" And Henry said, "No, that's a bass." And Freddie got it. "I know what a upright is, and I know." And they had to actually isolate the track so Freddie could hear the fret noise and find out that it was truly a bass guitar. So that's like one of my highest compliments to Freddie Hubbard.
Yeah.
So I think like an upright player when I'm doing jazz straight ahead.
Yeah.
And I've been so blessed because I, you know, cats like Willie Pickens and Ari Brown and Bobby Irvin and Henry Johnson and on, they call me for my sound and my musical approach, and not because, you know, not that I don't play upright. They call me because I'm a musician.
How is it that you're getting that sound, let's just say it, like an upright?
Yeah.
And that feel like an upright, but it's on electric. I mean,
It's all in the hands, man. I noticed that one guy, he's a friend of mine. I played his bass, and he said, "Frank, I've had that bass 20 years, and I never got the sound." It occurred to me that it's in the hands and the technique and the approach to it. Mm-hmm. So I do different fingerings to try to emulate that sound and that approach. And I've been playing with some of the great jazz masters for 30 years now, 35 years now. And I just, you know, I'll never say I'll sound like an upright player, but I have that feel and approach and melodic sensibility. So, yeah.
It's pretty interesting because, I mean, you hear electric players, mm-hmm. not you, but you hear electric players, and that pocket is just different.
Yeah.
As opposed to upright.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And I gravitated toward fretless, couple of decades ago, so that really because it sings and the notes growl and the notes sing, so that really does sound like upright, you know.
Is that a 4-5-6 string?
Five string. I'm a Lakeland bass clinician. I've been with them for 10 years now. They send me across the country doing clinics for them. Shout out to Lakeland, beautiful family, and I'll be playing all three of those. They actually made me five, but I'll be playing three at the Promontory.
So let's talk a little bit about. So you're playing bass. You're coming up. You're learning the jazz stuff and everything. You ended up with
Ladysmith Black Mambazo.
That's what I was trying to say. Yeah. Okay. So how did that come about?
That's different.
And that was kind of like prime time, wasn't it, for them, right?
It was a little after.
Simon?
It was about 10 years after Paul Simon. I always say I remember sitting in the basement with my auntie, my mother's sister, Aunt Julia, and we were watching these guys on TV, and we were like floored with the beauty of the intricacy of their music and their vocals and the way they acted and the peacefulness. And 10 years later, I'm playing with these guys. So it's just a blessing, man. And you know, we still have a relationship. I actually, on my first record, I did a tribute to them. And my second record, Circle Without End, I did a tribute. I wanted to have them sing, but of course, that's like hiring GM or you know, some big. So I did all the vocal parts myself from hanging with these guys, and they loved it. They're like, "Frank, you sound like us." but yeah, those guys, the way I got that, I did a play at the Steppenwolf Theater called Evelyn and the Polka King, but the guy that played with Nancy Wilson, James Comet, he couldn't do the gig. He was playing with Nancy Wilson, and he got me to sub out for him. And so that, I always teased him, I said, that went in from 3 months to a 6-year gig.
Yeah.
And so he, when he sees me, he cuts his eyes. Yeah, yeah. I always thank him so much because Ladysmith Black My Bowser kind of changed my life and approach.
It went all over the world, right?
Well, all over the country.
All over the country, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't. We never made it out the country because it was a play, and it would have been too much of production. It was like 20 people in the ensemble and all the tech. Yeah, it was a play called Noma Timba that we did, and it broke box office attendance records. We played at the Kennedy Center for 3 months.
Wow.
And yeah, it was a great thing.
So you finished that up, and why did you end up deciding to come back to Chicago? It's just your home?
Well, I never left Chicago. When I was touring with them, you know, my wife, she stayed home, and she came out sometimes, and I made my reputation here, and I never wanted to leave. I saw that my great friend Henry Johnson could make a career here, and Willie Pickens, and Ari Brown, and Bobby Irvin, so I just stayed here. I just love Chicago.
What year was that you... That came off the road.
That was in the 90s. Yeah. It's been a while. It was in the 90s. And when they come here, they're coming into old, what is it, Old Orchard or different
places. Oh, to the North Shore Center?
Yeah, they're come there. And if I'm not working, I always hang out.
Yeah.
And one time they called me up on stage to do the dance, the Scott D'Amelio dance, when they do the kicking and stuff.
Yeah.
And I said, no, that's been 15 years since I did that. I'm not going to break my neck.
So it's the same guys, basically.
No,
huh?
It's a lot of different ones. Some retired, a couple passed away. Joseph Shabalala, the leader, he's retired, I believe, and his sons have taken over.
Oh, okay.
He's got like 4 sons in the group now. So, and they're just as beautiful, and one of them sounds just like Joseph, so... They're keeping the tradition going on, and their grandchildren are singing and stuff. So
wow.
When they die, the grandchildren will take over.
Wow. Well, let's talk a little bit about the show now. July 3rd at the Promontory. Of course, you can get tickets at promontorychicago.com. Now, this is July 3rd, so it's right before the 4th. What a way to kick off the holiday.
Yeah, some good fireworks, we're hoping.
That's right. So it's the Frank Russell Band, and of course, Charles Heath presents. So Charles is actually a drummer who's playing in your band, but he also has been doing some great things with nonprofits and giving back to the community, and he's also been producing a lot of shows, so this is actually a Charles Heath production.
That's right.
And so tell us a little bit about what you're going to be playing, who's in the band, and all that good stuff. And of course, you're starting at 7 p.m., so it's a little early, so you can come see Frank and then hustle down to see the fireworks that start at about 9:30 at night.
That's right.
What a deal. What a day.
And Charles Heath, we got to give him a shout out. We met him in high school. We were playing in different high schools around the city. When they had grants for that, and with Ken Chaney, and somebody kept saying, let Charles play. And after a while, Ken said, well, who is Charles? And he raised his sticks up.
Just happened to have some.
He always carried his sticks. And we invited him on the stage, and he played his behind off.
Yeah.
And a few years later, he started playing. He always told Ken, I'm going to play with your band when I get out of school. And he did after college. And he's just a great, great drummer. He's playing with Ramsey Lewis now. Been playing for a few years. But I'm excited because I'm going to be doing tunes that are going to be featured on my next CD. And it's going to be called Influences. And these are some of the bass players that influenced me. So we're doing arrangements of tunes that they made famous. Or like we're doing Pat Metheny's Bright Side of Life. It's one of the first times I heard Jaco, and it blew my mind. Pat was like 17, Jaco was 20. And we're going to do arrangement of that. We're going to do some Stanley Clark, of course, School Days. And I'm lucky to have Bobby Irvin, who was Miles Davis's musical director and keyboard player for a few years. And we're going to do a tutu that Marcus Miller did. And Bobby played many times with Miles. And actually another tune that Daryl Jones, the great bassist from Chicago, plays with the Rolling Stones. We're going to do a tune called Decoy that Bobby wrote for Miles and had on the Decoy album. So Bobby's it's just a blessing to have this guy. He's a genius piano player.
Yeah.
And on the record, we actually got Wallace Rooney.
Oh, yeah.
And he's on my CD, my last CD. So he won't be on the concert, but... just a shout out to Wallace, one of the great trumpet players of all time.
Now, who's playing guitar?
Marco Villarreal. Marco's my guitarist for about 4 or 5 years now. Monster guitar player from Indiana.
and he plays classical, Alan Holdsworth, Larry Carlton, whatever you need. He's sometimes I'll whisper to him, I'll shout across the street, let Carlton, I'm looking for Larry Carlton on this solo. And he'll do it, Holdsworth, you know.
So this is going to be July 3rd, starting at 7 p.m. Tickets are still available at promontorychicago.com. It's the Frank Russell Band.
And you can get tickets at the door.
And tickets at the door. Yep, tickets at the door. Now, the Promontory is located at 5311 South Lake Park Avenue West in Chicago, right there in Hyde Park.
Beautiful, beautiful room, too.
It really is. And they've got a restaurant in front.
Downstairs, so you can eat a little bit and come on up and play with us. We work some of those calories off.
That's right. And then, of course, if they want to get any more information on Frank Russell, or if they want to buy any of those CDs you were talking about, or find out other places where you're playing, it's frankerussell.com.
Yes.
And, of course, Lakeland Bass in Dorsey and everything else. So if you're a bass player, a bass student, you have to check that website out so you get more information on what Frank plays. And maybe you'll get close to Frank's sound, right? But not quite.
Oh, yeah. It's like Air Jordan shoes. When you strap on those shoes, you can play like Michael Jordan.
Not quite, but... All right, well, anyway...
He's one of the best bassists I've ever played.
Yeah.
And I was just so blessed. I did a show with about 5-6 different bass players, great, phenomenal bass players, and the guy that represents them actually came up to me and asked, and I was playing a Lakeland, would I like to, you know, represent them? And of course I jumped at the chance, so that's been about 10 years now.
Yeah, well, I mean, only the heavy duty guys usually play Lakeland, right? I mean, that's kind of like a signature name. Do they customize it?
It's custom basses, custom basses. I guess Geezer Butler, Daryl Jones, myself, and a lot of you go to their website and check out the Lakeland bass, and they'll make them to your specs, and it's just beautiful craftsmanship. And there's a beautiful family of guys, the Paracellos. Yeah, John and Steve and all of them.
All right, well, you can get all that information at frankerussell.com. Of course, July 3rd at the Promontory. And Frank, thanks so much for stopping by and being on Chicago Jazz Revealed.
Thanks so much for having me. And Mike Jeffers is a great drummer. We actually played together years ago at the
Joe's Bebop.
That's right. We were swinging and funking away. So maybe we'll do some of that. You got to see some drums over there. Maybe we'll... I didn't bring my bass, but I can sing the parts.
All right, thanks for stopping by, Frank.
All right, thank you.